Good morning, everybody. Good to see you today. We are going to be celebrating communion together, and we do this every month here at Stony because the Lord Himself, Jesus, told us to do this. It's vital. It's a big part of remembering the gospel event of Jesus' death for us. And by sharing in the communion table regularly, we're keeping the gospel at the heart of our community together. In fact, if you're watching online this morning, I encourage you, go to the fridge, get some juice or some water, get some crackers or bread, and make preparations to join us. So we're celebrating this together, even if we're apart physically this morning. We also are careful to save communion for just once per month. We don't do it each week here. That's okay, but the reason that we save it for once per month is to make sure we're keeping it special, that we're really taking time to reflect and focus in a special way on the Lord's death for us and not just, you know, going through the motions. God forbid that we would just do that with this table here this morning. And so as I was praying and reflecting, preparing to get us ready to share in this memorial meal together, and especially with the real concern over this COVID-19 virus, I was reflecting on some words in the book of Ecclesiastes. If you have your Bible, you can open up to chapter 7, or we'll have the scripture, the text there up on the screen. I'd like to read this to you, and I warn you, it's not the most uplifting passage in the Bible at the beginning, but trust me, this is important, and it has something uplifting to share with us. And you might doubt it when I first start reading, if you're unfamiliar with this passage. It goes like this. It is better to go into a house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting. For death is the destiny of everyone. The living should take this to heart. Frustration is better than laughter. Doesn't feel that way, but Scripture is telling us this. Because a sad face is good for the heart. It's good for our heart again. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of pleasure. It might seem odd when we read these words to think, you know, that it's better to go into a funeral home than a reception hall, but I think you probably figured out why that might be. When we reflect on danger, even death in our lives, it forces us to think about those things that are most important, doesn't it? Going to a party is fun and even good. I enjoy a good party, just not over the next couple weeks. But I enjoy a good party. But likely, that's a time for me where I'm taking a break about thinking about the most important things. I'm just enjoying myself in the company of friends, and we're hanging out and having fun. But it's when we face a tragedy, we face something sad, face something big, maybe even dangerous, that we think about what's really important. A couple examples that I can think of. Tomorrow, my wife and I, along with others from the church, we're going to be leaving for Israel and for Egypt for the rest of the month. It's a big trip. We've been planning it for months, but of course, as you suspect if you don't already know, it was canceled due to this coronavirus outbreak and the restrictions on going in and out of Israel. And those are appropriate restrictions. We're doing much of the same things here in our country, but it certainly was a change of course for us. And with all the mandatory social distancing, closing of schools, a lot of work, we're all being impacted right now. This is facing all of us in one way or another. Even if we're not sick or anything, or nobody we know, we're being impacted during this time. But you know, long before the events leading up to this week, my wife and I, every time we get ready to go on a trip, we make sure certain things are in order. I'm not a very nervous guy, you know, I'm not a worrier by nature, but you know, we make sure our will is up to date. We've got two sons, and so I want to make sure the preparations are made for them if we didn't make it back. In the case of the Israel trip, it was about 30 hours of flying, and there was the virus, you know, the virus scare going on. And yeah, even in the Middle East, we know that there's tensions there and instability that's pretty regular in that area. So, you know, it might be sad to think about that we might not make it back to our kids, but it's important that we think about, well, what are we going to do if that's the case? Because we want to take care of our children. We want to take care of what's most important in our lives. It's the same thing here with this pandemic. It forced us to stop and think what's most important, right? Well, it's the same thing with communion. When we go to the communion table, this is a memorial meal that causes us to remember the death of Jesus. And so every time we come to church, there's reason to celebrate. And if you're watching online, there's reason to celebrate. We know that Jesus has conquered death. We know the joyous end of the story, that he's alive. But at the table here, at communion, we're stopping, we're slowing down, and we're reflecting on his death. And when we do that, we want to remember what's most important to get out of this time. All right? We don't want to waste our time at the communion table. We want to maximize our time here. And so if you take your outline out of your program that you received when you came in here this morning, we're going to look at a famous passage in Scripture about sharing communion together. It's in 1 Corinthians 11. You could open your Bibles or your smartphones there. And we're going to take some notes. We're going to look at this passage, and we're going to stop and slow down and reflect on that which is most important before we share in this memorial together. All right, let me read the Scripture to you, and you can follow along in your Bibles or there on the screen. This is the Apostle Paul, and he wrote this in 1 Corinthians. He said, "I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an arrangement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again.'" That's God's word speaking to us this morning. On your outline, the first most important of the most important things we're going to look at this morning in this passage is this: Jesus is Lord. Big shocker, right? Really? At church, you're going to say Jesus is Lord? Well, yes. Yes, I know. We ought to know this. I would be a little bummed out if nobody in here knew that already. But look at this passage again. Just glance through it in your Bible. How often Jesus' title as Lord is given here. It says the Lord himself gave us this memorial meal, referring to Jesus' lordship. It says that the Lord Jesus took the bread and then afterward the cup. It says that we're announcing the Lord's death until he comes. Communion is about remembering Jesus as Lord. That means God, the boss. That means he's our king. When we take communion, we're saying, Jesus, you are my Lord. You are the Lord of my life. And is he? If you're here today and you've never committed your life to Jesus, surrendered to him as your Lord, if you're at home and you've never surrendered to Jesus as your Lord, I urge you, I implore you to do it today. Come to him and surrender your life to him today. When I decided that Jesus was my Lord, it was me saying, he's the boss of me now. I don't belong to myself, I belong to Jesus. And I'm not always the most loyal subject to my king, but I'm working on it. And I ask for the Holy Spirit to guide me and to enable me to be more and more faithful to my king. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is the Lord of the universe. Communion reminds us of that. And like Randy said, even during this pandemic, even when appearances are, things are out of control, Jesus is in control. He's in control of my life, and he's in control of the universe. Despite our current circumstances or appearance or feelings, and that gives us something to rest on. That gives us reason for peace and to be encouraged. Randy's going to be teaching on this the next 2 weeks, that we don't need to surrender to fear if we've surrendered to the Lord. And so I encourage you to join us over the next couple of weeks for that mini-series. When I first came to Christ, I made that commitment, but really ever since then, Jesus has called me to take a next step in following him as my Lord. The next thing for me was baptism, to follow the Lord in baptism. That's a commandment from my King. To plug into the church, serving and becoming a member, just as Jesus is committed to the church. To share my faith with people who have never heard about Jesus or who haven't trusted in him as Lord and Savior. It can be scary to do that, awkward. I can worry people are going to think I'm weird or even tease me a little bit. That's nothing. Jesus is my King and he's calling me to do it. When I come to communion, every time, and I hope we'll all do it here today, I spend time reflecting, Jesus, my King, my Lord, what are you calling me to in greater faithfulness this week, this month? I pray we would all do that, and then we'd commit to it. How is Jesus calling you to follow him this week? Reflect on that. The second of the most important things we're looking at about communion this morning, you want to write it down, it goes like this: Jesus died saving us. I know, another shocker, but let's reflect on it a bit. You know, I think, and I maybe I'm the only one in the universe who's felt this way, but there are times where I'm tempted to just kind of roll my eyes at communion and say, I know all this. Yeah, I know, this is so basic. And I know you would never do that physically, where I can catch you, or Pastor Randy can catch you, but maybe internally you're like, oh man, or maybe you're tuning in online, you're like, what, it's just communion? God forbid we treat communion like that. No, no, no. We need to fight against these urges and remember that Jesus himself set this up to remember that he died to save us. He did it on the, it says in the scripture there, on the night he was betrayed by the very humanity that he came to save. And when he knew what was in store for him, just hours later, he set up this meal and commanded us, remember me, remember my broken body and my poured out blood for you, that I did this for you. May we never roll our eyes externally or internally, but really take time to remember our Savior. When we look at our Savior on the cross, we're reminded of just how terrible, how horrible sin is. That it isn't just a sickness, it isn't just bad choices, that sin is rebellion against our Creator. We're reminded of how seriously God takes it. God didn't just wave a magic wand to forgive sin. Jesus died on the cross. Our sin separated us from God here on earth, and if it's unchecked, into eternity called hell. And Jesus on the cross, not only was his body broken and blood poured out, but he suffered separation from God the Father. He endured hell for us on the cross. Every time I reflect on that, I'm reminded powerfully, as I'm holding the bread or about to drink the cup, I'm reminded not to take my salvation lightly, not to just get comfortable in the fact that, oh, I'm going to heaven, I'm good with Jesus. Oh no, I'm blown away all over again that you, my King, would die for me. If you've already surrendered your life to Jesus, now, before communion, is a time to reflect, what has Jesus' payment bought for me and my life? Yes, it's bought eternity for you, but what about here, between now and eternity? What kind of life are you living that Jesus has bought for you? If I'm still living for myself, my pleasure, my weekend, even my family, but not living for Jesus, for my Lord, then I am not treating this gift the way it ought to be treated. Jesus died saving me. If I'm not living for him, then is he really my Lord? And if he's not my Lord, is he really my Savior? That's a scary question. But here at communion, I ask that. Am I living for you? You died to save me. I also remember, because Jesus purchased me with his blood, because he purchased me with his broken body, that nothing in this world can now destroy me because I belong to him. And so when I'm facing fear, when I'm facing temptation, when I'm facing hurt or disappointment in life or from a person, I can just surrender back to Jesus and find comfort that he saved me and he'll save me through this too. And I don't need to surrender to the temptation. I can surrender to Jesus all over again today. And I'm so thankful for my King who died for me. The third most important thing that we look at when we come to the communion table, number three on your outline, Jesus sends us out. Jesus sends us out. This moment of communion doesn't end here. At the end of the text that we read this morning, the Apostle Paul wrote, every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. We are proclaiming who Jesus is and what he did for us when we come to this table. And it reminds us that we're to go out with this message into the world around us, to share with people that Jesus is Lord, that he died on the cross for our sins, and that he arose from the dead, proving that he was who he claimed to be, God Almighty. He rose from the dead, proving that he did what he said he would do, beat death for every person who entrusts their life to him as Lord and Savior. I heard a celebrity yesterday remark how connected the human race is, that this COVID-19 virus that began in China could make its way so quickly around the world, you know, even to the U.S., across oceans, even into Michigan. I know that's scary. I'm not trying to freak people out. But think of how connected we must be. That's with us trying not to spread it, right? Like, we weren't trying to get this into everybody's hands. But think of how connected we are. And that's unintentional, you know, spread. Well, I think about what if I really today recommit myself to go out with the gospel message, to spread the gospel message. If we all did this, really doubled down, didn't just enjoy our salvation but not share it, but went out and shared the message of the cross with people, the message of Jesus with people, think of how we could spread all the way back to China and throughout the world. Starting right now with the people that we love. I've got people I love. Their name's written in my pocket. I have this list I've made of people that I love. These are folks that, as far as I know, have not trusted in Jesus as Lord and Savior. 58 people. And this list has grown and shrunk over the years. I like it when a name gets removed from this list, because that means that, as far as I know, they've trusted in Jesus as Lord and Savior. Lately, the list has been growing. Lately, it's been growing more than it's been shrinking as I meet people. And, you know, sometimes I let the busyness of life, I let even my responsibilities here at the church get in the way of really prioritizing praying for these folks and making plans to have conversations with these folks about my faith, about the gospel, and about going as far as inviting them to trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. When I come to communion, I'm reminded that we're called to proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. These people are just like me, without Jesus, lost, and about to spend eternity apart from God in hell. And I love these people. These are my neighbors, my family, my friends, people I've known over the years, people that God loves even more than I do. I can't keep silent about the gospel. I've got to share the good news of Jesus with these folks. There's no option. My King died for me. That's all set. Heaven's all set for me, because I've entrusted myself to him. Now, between now and when I leave this life. I've got air in my lungs to share the gospel with these folks. Do you have a list like that? I hope you do. If you don't make one, now's a great time to start asking God to bring these people to your mind as we reflect over the fact that Jesus died for them, just as he died for us. And would you commit to pray over that list and to maybe share this list with a trusted friend to encourage you and hold you accountable to share your faith with these folks? And I know every day I can come up with a reason to stop myself from sharing the gospel today. Well, I just got a lot of things to get to, so tomorrow. And I know with all the shut down schools and a lot of places of business and things, maybe your work, it's easy to say, well, we'll wait for a couple of weeks for this all to blow over. But no, even now, this is a great example of how we need to be there every single moment sharing the gospel with our friends. And so pray about examples that you can reach out to people even during this national crisis. Maybe you know of somebody, or as you're texting friends and you should be reaching out to friends and family, okay, got everything you need, you feeling all right, you might find out actually we're running low on something, and so you make a drive-by and put some stuff on their porch. Maybe it's the toilet paper. I know that seems to be the big thing that I hear about so much. We're good at the Bordeaux home, but so don't worry about that. But you reach out to people. If there's needs, meet some practical, tangible needs, but then tie it to your love for the Lord and the Lord's love for them. You can invite people still to church. At least at this point, we're still having church every week. I'm glad you're here, and maybe online. Even invite your friends over for breakfast next week. If you're staying home, great. Invite your neighbors over for breakfast to partake in church. We've got our Wednesday night program. We're still planning to do that, though we won't be doing the cafe this Wednesday at 6 o'clock, but we've got our adult teaching, our women's Bible study, the youth group, the kids' life, the praying moms, and so you can invite people out to that as well. There's lots of ways to reach out to our friends and family. Let's not take our position in Christ for granted. Let's live such a thankful life to our Savior that we go out and we tell other people about it. The main idea, the one thing you want to write down if you forget everything else, ties it all together. It goes like this. The Lord's death for us calls us to live for him. It is for freedom that Christ set us free. Jesus didn't just save us from something. He saved us for something. Our Lord died for us so that we could go out and live faithfully for him. I'm going to invite the elders to come up and prepare for communion. And we're going to do it a little bit differently here today. Normally we pass around the plates, but we're going to not do that for this morning. The elders are going to arrange three stations, one right where they are now, and that's for you guys over in this section. And then we'll have another one right here that will be for you folks in the center section. And we'll have another station over here for you folks. And we'll just start in the front rows and work your way back. Normally we've got the crackers in the community plate so you can shuffle around with your fingers in there, and we're not doing that this week. We have those individually portioned as well. So when you come up, take your portion of your bread and your portion of your juice, sit back down, and then we're going to read scripture and we're going to partake in the communion elements together. So let's pray and then we'll have some music. The elders can start getting that ready. Heavenly Father, thank you for the cross. Thank you for this meal that reminds us through all of our senses of Jesus' death for us. God, in this time as we're coming to get these elements and sitting back down in prayer, I pray you would call to mind. I pray you'd call to mind the ways that you're calling us to follow Jesus as our Lord. Maybe somebody would do it for the first time today, putting his or her trust in Jesus. Maybe it's somebody who's done that a long time ago, and you're calling me to a new way to be a better husband or father or pastor or friend. Show us the people that you're calling us to share the gospel with. And Lord, accept our commitments and enable us to do them by the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's look at the scripture again. This time, please help me out with the yellow print when we come to it. Passage reads, "On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's remember our Lord together. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it." Let's remember our Lord together. We're going to close our service with a song. I invite the band to make their way up here. And I hope that during this communion celebration, you really did make some commitments to your Lord today. And I want to encourage you, if you made some kind of, "I'm going to give up that habit in my life, that sin in my life, or I'm going to share my faith with this person that I've been putting it off," whatever it may be, I encourage you to tell somebody about it, to encourage you and hold you accountable. Sometimes we make a commitment and then the rest of our day is going to shake that out of our minds. And so I encourage you to share that with somebody today, very quickly, even before you leave this room, so somebody can encourage you and check up with you on that commitment. Let's remember the Lord's death calls us to live for him. I invite you to stand for this last song. We are going to have our offering at the close of the service. There's baskets there at the door rather than passing them around here for the next couple of weeks. We're going to do that this way. But I do want to pray over that offering now. And as always, it's always an option to give online. I just figured I'd highlight it this time at my.stonycreek.church. If you're at home, that's pertinent to you watching that. And just to remind you that even if you give online, it's still worshiping the Lord, all right? You don't need me or Pastor Randy to see you putting the money in the offering pouch for it to count. No, this is between you and the Lord, right? You're worshiping him in that. And so feel free to do that. All right, let's pray this morning as we close. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for the cross. I thank you again for saving me, for saving us. May we use this life you've given us to go out and proclaim Jesus to the world around us. May we follow you as Lord. Lord, we worship you, and one of the ways we do that is with our offering, and so we pray you would bless it and you would use it to advance your kingdom. And God, once again, we lift up anyone who does have the COVID-19 virus anywhere in the world, especially those that it's hitting real hard. We pray for healing. We pray for recovery. And Lord, we pray for protection, especially for those that are most vulnerable, for protection through this time. And we entrust you all the way through it. No matter how long it lasts, we know you're on the throne. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.